Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
From the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum Microphone.
They're never going to stop us here.
Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
Welcome inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, the GunBroker.com studios. This Car Arms Platinum microphone is lit up and ready to rock and roll. Fastest hour in radio, all of it being presented to you by X Insurance. And I'm seeing in the comments already, those of you who are watching the live stream, you're getting your X Insurance quotes. I put some information out today on my mailer, armedamericanradio.org. I promise never to spam you. This is the first email blast I've sent out in months because I don't like getting spammed either, okay? I'm not going to give your email to anybody, but if you want to keep updates of what's going on the show, some of the partnerships that we have going on, we've got some of that stuff. We'll probably be coming out about once every couple weeks, maybe once a week, but it'll be a really interesting email, something that you can use. Go check it out, armedamericanradio.org, and sign up. It's 100% free. Your email address will go nowhere ever, I promise you. What a day we got lined up for you today. What a week. Started out with Andy Hoosier, the voice of reason, yesterday. Legend today. I'll go right to Cam in just a moment. Tomorrow, townhall.com will be here with Beth. Thursday, Student of the Gun will be here. And Friday, Dave Workman out on the West Coast. And today, one of my favorite people on earth and one of your favorite people on earth, all around satellite radio moment word guy from bearingarms.com and Cam and Company, a good friend of mine and a fellow board member, I'm proud to say, at the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, Cam Edwards, Cam and Company. Cam, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Mark, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm ready to roll, bro. So tell me something. Where the hell are we as a nation? That's a very broad question, but you have written a piece that I could take for the hour today because you reference, and let me go there, progressive federalism, and I want to talk with you about that. And then I want to click over to the link Progressive Federalism in the New York Times, and I'm going to give you my assessment, and I don't think listeners in the nation are going to like it, but I want to hear from you what this is all about. But first, answer that. Where are we?
Honestly, I think as a nation, where we are is exactly where we were the day before the election, right? A 50-50 nation, by and large. And that didn't change when we went and we cast our votes. I mean, you can look at the election results, and it looks like the presidential level is going to be just as close one way or the other as it was 4 years ago. There was no Democrat blue wave in the Senate, no blue wave in the House, no blue wave in the state legislatures. In fact, Republicans ended up taking back the state House in New Hampshire, took back a couple of other legislative chambers as well. I think one in Minnesota, one in Iowa. So we are as divided as we have been for at least a generation. And I don't see that changing. So the same fights that we had as gun owners and the Second Amendment activists, 2 weeks ago, are the same fights that we face today. Thankfully, I think because we turned out on Election Day, we really threw a curveball to the potential Biden administration in terms of packing the court. If we can win, right now on paper anyway, court packing's off the table because Joe Manchin said, well, I'm not going to go along with it.
Right.
I don't know how much I believe Joe Manchin, but, we can guarantee that court packing's off the table for at least 2 years if we can win one of these two runoff elections in Georgia. So, gun owners, this was not the apocalyptic election for gun owners because we turned out our vote. I've got another piece at Bearing Arms today with Chris Brown of the Brady campaign trying to claim that the election was some sort of mandate for gun control. And that's just simply not the case. These were gun control groups who were running campaign ads that didn't even mention their issue.
That's pretty sad, isn't it?
Run on gun control. And now that the election's over, they say, well, Joe Biden won. This was a mandate for our agenda. Baloney. So, I mean, where we are as a country, we're where we've been, and as for that, I don't know if you want to get into the progressive federalism, but this is something that gun owners, particularly at the state level, are going to have to be very cognizant of over the next couple of years.
All right, let me start with this, because like you always do, you gave me enough meat for the hour just in the opening, just in your opening remarks, without even going to progressive federalism, which is a whole other can of worms. But I can narrow that down to two words, really, if I want. I just choose not to yet, because we're not there as a nation yet. But you may know where I'm going. Maybe not. I'll hint at it in just a few minutes. But when you refer to, so much meat. Let's talk about Georgia first, okay? We didn't give them what they wanted. Georgia right now, everything rides on this state. Who would have thunk that going into the election on Tuesday? I would have never bet on that. Would have never seen that coming. Of course, I predicted Trump plus 316 electoral votes. Why? Because I felt him carrying what he carried, which he tells you today he already did, even though the numbers don't show it because of what he claims it to be. We won't argue that case. But I did not see Arizona falling, and I thought my surprise victory would be Minnesota. And if you took what he had last year, kept Arizona, maybe lost to Kelly, which I think was a gimme. We saw that coming. Mm-hmm. But I could have seen Minnesota flipping this year, and that would have put him at 316 electoral votes. Georgia, I'll tell you, if it smells like a fish, it's usually a fish. Something's not right in Fulton County here. Something is way off, but something's always off here. And those of us that live here know that. We've seen this building with Stacey Abrams for the previous 2 years. This woman's not going away. She's going to be a progressive cancer in this state for the foreseeable future. And we're going to have to get used to it or move. Now, let's go to the two Senate races. Loeffler, there were 21 people on that jungle election, if you will, to replace her. And, of course, Doug Collins being the biggest in there that took the most votes. Who knows what would have happened if Doug wasn't on that ticket. But if all those votes were accurate coming in of Fulton County and coming in the rest of the state, I got to tell you, Cam, David Perdue would have won. It's mathematically impossible for it not to happen. Those people that voted did not vote for somebody else, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No Trump hater voted for John Ossoff. You can hate, Orange Man bad all day long, but those individuals did not vote for John Ossoff. And that's evidenced by the fact that David Perdue actually won. Had Georgia not had that goofy 50.1% deal, it was done. So I'm concerned by what I'm seeing coming in here in terms of money. Hollywood here in Georgia now, as you know, most movies being filmed out here. They're all out here in droves. They're threatening to move out here. Your take on the Senate situation here, because it's so vital.
Yeah, it is vital. So I'll tell you, you talk about the out-of-state interests that are coming into your state. I might be coming to Georgia here before long and helping to get out the vote, because that's how crucial these races are. The good news for gun owners, again, is that Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff have given us plenty of ammunition, to use against their campaign. Raphael Warnock has spoken out in support of gun control from the pulpit, in the papers. John Ossoff, that two-faced little rat.
He is, isn't he?
He was running campaign ads in Georgia talking about how, if you elect me, I'll defend the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Well, if you went to his website, it was, we need to ban these weapons of war that don't belong in civilian hands, and everybody needs a gun license in order to own a firearm. So I don't know what Second Amendment he's thinking of, but it's clearly not the one in the Bill of Rights that he's hoping to defend. and as you say, Perdue did not get to that 50.1%, but he did beat John Ossoff by, what was it, 90,000, 140,000? I mean, it was a sizable number.
It's over 87,000 votes. Cam is right. He beat him by a sizable amount. Let's make a comparison here. Stacey Abrams, as you recall, a couple years back, claimed that the election was being stolen from her when the ballots were still coming in, and she was down in six figures. This was a strategy that they employed. And they claimed they put the Republican, they put Kemp back on his heels, and made him seemingly have to prove that he wasn't cheating, because she made an accusation while ballots were still being counted. Even after they tried everything they could try, Cam, she still lost by a full 57,000 stadiums worth of votes and still has not conceded. This is exactly what the Democrats' playbook. This is what they're going to do. We've watched them with her fair vote, whatever it is, which basically means use the media to help me cheat. And let's start planning for this 2 years in advance. There's a stink test here that isn't being passed. But you are correct. Absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that number. I did not, and I should have. He beat Ossoff I think right now he's at 87,000 votes ahead. I do not see them making that up, no matter how goofball Hollywood weirdos, no matter how many of them come out here. Cam, we're getting ready to take a break. So let me say this. I love this hour. I love talking with Cam, and I can't wait for you to hear the rest of it. We're going to go to progressive federalism next. And don't be shocked if that topic just kind of wormholes into the rest of the hour, because progressive federalism is something you need to be concerned with. And I have a thesis, if you will, about what it all means and how it all ends. Back right after this with Cam Edwards himself from Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. Don't go away, America. We'll be right back. This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show, indeed. GunBroker.com, by the way, is killing it with your help out there. It's amazing. They're at record year, obviously. That's not a shock. Here's the deal. If you can't find it on your store shelves, GunBroker.com has it. They do. They have everything you can imagine. I was looking yesterday. I found them. I just have to, I have to pull the trigger, pun intended. GunBroker.com, GunBroker.com. You're in the GunBroker.com studios, the car, arms, microphone, all this being presented to you by X Insurance. More about that in a bit. Cam Edwards, welcome back. Somebody says to me in the comment section here as I'm watching some of these, and I love these because I don't have to take phone calls and change the direction of the show and interrupt anything. I can get to them when I want. Somebody says, you need to change that picture you have of Cam in the studio there. On camera, his beard is now epic. Now, Cam, if I did that, I'd have – listen, here's why I can't do that, guys. If I did that, I'd have to raise his head up enough because his beard is long enough that you'd be looking at the bottom of his chin, and it would be all beard. And I want to see his face. So picture him with an epic beard. We love that. Welcome back, Cam. Great to have you, brother.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. And thank you for the comment about the epic beard. It has I think we're officially at ZZ Top status here.
Isn't that great? That's true. That's a great point. He is literally theater of the mind is radio, right? He is at ZZ Top status. I love it. How long have you been growing that?
So this is the chemo support beard. My wife's been dealing with lung cancer for like 4 years. I'm bald, so shaving my head for chemo doesn't work. So she said, grow out the beard. So I started growing that about 4 years ago. Then I trimmed it back when she was in remission. I think I've been going for about a year and a half now. The second go round, and
wow, no kidding.
I whatever, man, she's still here. She's still, feeling
I'm
good.
Telling you.
So I'm not a superstitious guy, but maybe the beard has a little bit to do with it. You never know.
Well, listen, you know, my situation here, we went through the same thing. You and I talked about it at the time, and our blessings, prayers for you and Mrs. E, and she is fighting the fight. God bless her. And listeners, please help us out here. It works. It worked in my household when you did it, and it'll work when you do it for Cam. If you're the type that will pray, please do. And mention Mrs. E, because she's been fighting that battle, and she's been fighting it like a true warrior that she is. Both Cam and I know what spouse warriors are firsthand, believe me.
Absolutely.
So that is very cool of you to do that, and it's such a great story. All right, now let's go to progressive federalism, Cam, and I'm going to quote your piece. The title of it is, "With SCOTUS Packing in Doubt, Dems Turn to Progressive Federalism." And again, the reason, Cam, that it's in doubt is because Manchin has made his point that he will not support it. I don't think he's going to waver on that. Your thought on that real quick? I think he's going to stay true to that.
I suspect that you're right. I still think there's a decent chance that Manchin is up joining the Republicans. There was not a single blue county in West Virginia. And if Manchin decides he wants to run again in 4 years, I don't think he's going to be able to do it as a Democrat. So I think he's going to stand by his word. I think that there are a couple of other Democrats who, like Kyrsten Sinema out in Arizona, she had said that she wasn't in favor of packing the court. I think she'd probably stand by that. Mark Kelly said he wasn't either, but I would see Mark Kelly flipping.
He's greasy, man.
Anything Mark Kelly says. Exactly.
Yeah. He's greasy.
Yeah, I do think that for the moment, again, we'll see what happens in 2 years, but I think for the moment, it looks pretty good that we'll be able to keep the current composition of the court. And so now you've got, you know, gun control activists who are thinking, okay, well, what's going to happen here? We're terrified that all of our favorite gun laws are going to get overturned. And in the New York Times today, New Jersey's Attorney General, Gabir Gruel, and the Solicitor General, I don't know his name right in front of me, I think it's Josh Feigenbaum, I think.
It's Jeremy Feigenbaum, yes.
Jeremy Feigenbaum. They're arguing that, okay, progressives, here's what we need to do in order to, you know, try to get around this conservative Supreme Court. We need to embrace federalism, right? Which another synonym for federalism is basically localism. And so what they're arguing is, in essence, the judicial form of hashtag resist, right? And, you know, we're going to try to preemptive actions against Supreme Court rulings. So if we fear that, you know, Obamacare is going to be struck down, well, we're going to start passing state laws to protect, you know, certain people. If we feel like a gun control law is going to be struck down, we're going to have one waiting in the wings that's, you know, tweaked just enough that we could put it in place and have to file a whole new lawsuit and you know, start the whole process over again. It's basically ways to resist any orders by the Supreme Court that would, you know, restore our constitutional rights and look for an end run around the Constitution when they get smacked down by the highest court in the land.
Let's quote what these two idiots have to say. President, and this is from the opinion piece in the New York Times that Cam is referring to. President Trump and his allies in the Senate have packed the federal courts with more than 200 conservative judges over the last 4 years, including three Supreme Court justices. Let me clarify something to both of these individuals. They both know better. President Trump hasn't packed anything. President Trump has done what the Constitution obligates him to do, and that is fill the courts with vacancies. That is the president's responsibility. Packing means, in the sense that the Democrats know what it means, adding justices to the Supreme Court to pack it to get their political end game. So these two dirtbags know that, Cam. Yet this is how they get away with creating this narrative. This is but a small example, because no one at the New York Times will question it. Nobody edited it out. They just let it go. And everybody else that picks up the gray lady's words and their opinion piece, which many do, will keep this in it. You know that as well as I do. But it goes on to say, in doing so, Mr. Trump made explicit that he wants his judges and the 6-3 conservative majority on the court to achieve what he could not through Congress, including eliminating health care for millions and undermining what remains of the Voting Rights Act. And I could go on and on. And their proposal is simple, they say. Let's take a page from our conservative friends and forge a new form of progressive federalism. And then they go on to say four ways to do it. First, state elected officials must be ready to respond quickly in advance of rulings. What they're telling people to do here, Cam, and I, maybe you read this differently than I did. I don't think you did. But essentially, ignore the courts. Do what the hell you want to do anyway. Force a challenge at the Supreme Court, much like New York did with their bogus law that was eventually found moot, that they fought. They knew it was unconstitutional, but they pushed it anyway. Isn't that what they're calling for here? Just ignore the law, ignore the courts, fire back when you can, resist and fight it at the Supreme Court if you have to. Isn't that what I'm taking from this?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. You know, which is why I talked about, you know, if a gun control law is struck down, tweak it. Like, exactly. It's the New York gun law example that you just gave, right? So as soon as that law was threatened, all of a sudden New York City decided to stop defending that law, which it had done in, you know, U.S. District Court, in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. They defended that gun law. But as soon as the Supreme Court said, oh, we're going to take this case, then the city of New York said, well, you know what? Maybe we don't need this law after all. And they changed it. There are still laws governing where legal gun owners in New York can transport their firearms. And those new rules are subject to a legal challenge, too. Right. But by mooting that original law, tweaking it just enough so that the Supreme Court said, well, it's not really a live issue anymore, they reset the clock. Right. On that entire legal case. And so it's going to be several more years before this issue gets back before the Supreme Court once again.
You better believe it.
And that is their strategy with every gun control law that's going to be challenged.
There's no question about it. When we come back with Cam Edwards, we're going to continue the discussion. I want to give you, excuse me, my take on that and what it means for America when you hear two people in this position of authority talk like this. Back with Cam Edwards right after this.
to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Indeed. Welcome back inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom today in the GunBroker.com studios on this Car Arms Platinum microphone, and every bit of it being brought to you today by X Insurance, a couple of our other sponsors. We'll split them up between this segment and next. Letslinger's Whiskey. Letslinger'sWhiskey.com. Enter your zip code. Find a distributor near you and enjoy those great products responsibly, please. MyPillow.com. I'm not going to go into the whole deal. Suffice to say, Mike Lindell has got the special going right now. It's $40 off the Queen Pillow, which was regularly $68.99, is now $28.99, $40 off throughout the holidays with that. Use the promo code AAR at Radio Listener Specials on MyPillow.com. You'll see the box, Radio Listener Specials. Go in, grab that amazing deal. The Kings are only $5 more, by the way. So, I mean, the ones that I have cost more than that. So this is a great deal. Use the deal. Use the promo code AAR, MyPillow.com, and grab the pillow that you sleep at night and support the Second Amendment. It's mind-boggling how easy that is. And, of course, GunBroker.com. Sign up. It's 100% free. More about Defender Coffee and others when we come back. Let's go back to Cam Edwards, BearingArms.com, Cam and Company. Cam, I got to tell you, some of this stuff, we read this, it's hard to look at this stuff with a straight face, okay? But if you don't, you're doing yourself a disservice because these people are serious, and they're not going to go away anytime soon. Let me quote, to close out that exclamation point, the Gruel and Fine Gerbogen or whatever his name is in Jersey. But the history of our nation has long counted on creative advocates, lawmakers, government officials, and lawyers to bring us step by step closer to equality and justice for all. Now they must prepare to fight many of these battles in their states and draw the line against conservative intervention. How do you read that? Creative activism. What is creative activism to you? I know what it is to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, to me, it's ignoring the courts, you know, right. Again, and getting creative about, again, doing that end run around the Constitution. It is, it's laughable, though, to hear Gruel claim that he's doing this, you know, in the name of equality and justice and our right. individual freedoms. You know, given that he has defended New Jersey's gun control laws that prohibit correct. The average citizen from carrying a firearm in self-defense and throw up, you know, nearly insurmountable barriers for many people just to exercise the right to bear arms in their home. And so, you know, yeah, it is laughable, but you're right. These folks are serious yeah. and they actually view disarming Americans. They view that as equality, right? If we're all equally disarmed, we're all equal, Mark. Our rights are being equally infringed, but that's their version of equality.
That's their stated goal. Don't just believe me. Don't believe Cam. We're the crazy gun nut guys. Don't believe us. Go read Biden's website if you want to hear it and read it for yourself. The first three bullet points will tell you everything you need to know about confiscation. Here's my exclamation point. What this show, and by the way, as you know, as a board member, and I know you speak with Alan frequently as I do, Alan and the Second Amendment Foundation are suing New Jersey over this.
Yep.
And more than likely going to take this. Now, I've got other inside dope, but I can't tell you until tomorrow. But I will say this. Alan let the cat out of the bag. There are other lawsuits coming, listeners, okay? And I got word on a couple of them today, and one of them you're going to absolutely love. Because I promise you we're going to see some victories on this. No question about it. And we're pretty confident with ACB on the court and the fact that Thomas Alito Gorsuch and well, all that's what you need. When you throw an ACB on top of that and forget John Roberts, you got a 5-4 majority that's pretty solid. So we're hopeful there. But here's the exclamation point. What this shows me is that this nation is forever divided. Forever. This is not fixable, Cam. We are not going to sing Kumbaya together. Anytime you have a Republican president, this is the kind of crap you're going to get from the left. And I'll tell you, I'm not living under progressive socialist rule. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to comply with it. I'm not going to live under it. I'm not going to give it my money. I'm not going to feed the beast. I'm going to fight it every step of the way. Can we ever? I don't know. The smoke is out. Look, I lifted up the Kingsford lid and the smoke came out. I can't gather it back up. I want to know what you think.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. What I think is that, you know, we are, if not at the crossroads itself, pretty close to it. You know, and going back to that very first question that you asked me at the top of the hour, where are we as a country? So we're the same place we were right before the election,
right?
We're 50 nations.
That's it. And we're certainly not any closer.
How long can a nation survive? I mean, Lincoln asked this question, right? Can a house divided stand? And I think we're asking ourselves that very same question right now. You know, I think that there are people who, even just a couple of years ago, if you had said, all right, so how do we have a amicable national divorce? They would have looked at you like you're crazy. And now they're asking themselves that very same question, right? You know, thankfully, I don't think that we have, by and large, gotten to the point as a nation where we're willing to murder each other. You know,
no, I don't think so. There are some people who are.
But as a nation,
yeah,
I don't think we're there yet. But I do think that, you know, if you were to ask, you know, 100 Democrats and 100 Republicans and 100 Independents, if there was a way to amicably separate, would you do it? I think a majority of every one of those groups would say yes.
Yeah.
Right. The question is, how do you do that? And I honestly, I don't know what the answer is. I wish I did. You know, and I hope that it is amicable. But, you know, these are dangerous times that we're living in, because I think you're right. Fundamentally, we're talking about two very different ideologies and worldviews.
They're incompatible.
And, right. Yeah, exactly.
We have to be honest about that. They're incompatible with each other. They are mutually exclusive of each other. One cannot live with the other. Wars have been fought over this stuff. I mean, these are incompatible ideologies, and they're both here. It's going to fall on Democrat leadership, because it is their party pushing this agenda. It's going to fall on them to end it. And I don't know that they're capable of ending it. Not when you see what's happening in the streets. They don't care about controlling it. The media doesn't talk about it, what happened in Washington, D.C. Biden, all he said is, I condemn all violence. He didn't even know. He didn't even put the tweet out. He didn't know the tweet went out. He didn't make the statement. Somebody from his campaign did. Told him, hey, you better comment on this. CNN finally mentioned it, therefore we better talk about it. Yeah, we're in a very dangerous place, I agree. And the crossroads, the nation's at the precipice. And you're right. I think maybe some greater minds will come up with how that works. I think you're right. If you took 1,000 Democrats, 1,000 Republicans, and 1,000 independent, I think you'd have 1,500. It'd be a pretty even split. There's no question in my mind about that. All right. Can you tell me what it means that there's 172 million reasons why Biden's gun ban is unworkable? And by the way, listeners and viewers, it is a gun ban. Read his report on his own page. Cam, why is it unworkable? And what are the 172 million reasons?
Yeah, well, about 150 million of them are magazines. and about 20 million of them are modern sporting rifles. The National Shooting Sports Foundation just released some new production figures. This was yesterday when these numbers came out. And they estimate 19.8 million modern sporting rifles in civilian hands. They estimate, I think it was around 72 million. I don't know the figures right in front of me, but around 71.2 million pistol magazines. Yeah. Okay. 71.2 million pistol magazines that can hold more than 10 rounds. And what was it, about 72 million rifle magazines that can hold more than 30 rounds?
79.2 million. So figure 80 million rifle magazines capable of holding 30 or more rounds.
Yeah. And these are the items that Joe Biden on his campaign website says Americans will either have to hand over to the government or register under the National Firearms Act or else go to prison. Right. And a violation of the NFA, punishable by 10 years in a federal penitentiary and a $250,000 fine per count. So that's what we're looking at here. And that's what Biden has said has to happen with these 172 million items. So, you know, bearing arms, we simply point out the logistical issues with A, trying to get Americans to turn them in, B, trying to register all of these items under the NFA. And then what really would happen would be massive noncompliance on the part of American gun owners.
I need you to stop right there because we're going to take a break. When we come back, I got a question for Cam about all this. Man, fastest hour in daytime radio. Back with Cam Edwards right after this. Don't go away. following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. Indeed, I've got my Defender Coffee mug up here. You can see it on camera here. Some of the folks commenting, if you're watching the live stream, are seeing the same thing. Some of you already have it. It's a beautiful mug. It's great stuff. The promo code DefenderCoffee.com is AAR, 15% off, or you can join the coffee club like I did and get free shipping. If you do that, then you don't get the 15 off. I mean, come on. But here's the cool part. This is the facepalm thing. No brainer. You get to tell Defender Coffee where you want your portion of the profits to go. Mine goes to the Second Amendment Foundation. So let me get this straight. I get great organic Liberty Roast coffee from Defender Coffee. I support Armed American Radio. I support Defender Coffee. And I also send money to the Second Amendment Foundation to help Alan and the organization sue the crap out of all these idiots that we're talking about here today. And all I have to do is drink coffee. Do you see how this works? That's why when you sleep on a MyPillow, that's how you support the Second Amendment. It's the same thing. We have relationships like that with all of our partners. And of course, you're in the Crossbreed Holster studios on Sundays. You're on the GunBroker.com studios during the daytime show. You're on the Lead Slingers mic on Sundays. And you're on the Car Arms mic during the day. And all of it, every bit of it, is presented by X Insurance, a far superior product to any of the other legal plans that are out there, because it's an insurance policy written specifically to you, for you, based on your needs, by an AM Best A-rated insurance company. It's not a membership plan that might not be there for you when your freedom is on the line. You don't have membership plans for your house, your cars, your dogs, your job, if you're a cop, for your businesses. If you're a bike racer and jumping out of airplanes, you don't want membership plans. You want an insurance policy that's got your name on it. Xinsurance.com, when your freedom is on the line. Thank God they're out there. They're taking the firearms community from concealed carry holders all the way to law enforcement. They're taking it by storm. That's why. And that's why I have the policy myself. I have a 100, 250, 500 policy written for me. I know it's going to be there. All of it presented by them. Let's go back to Cam Edwards. All right, Cam. Oh, my gosh. We started off with, where are we? What's happening? You know, we come down to the Joe Biden plan. And I said I had a question for you. When you talk about confiscation, you, myself, and many of our dear friends over the years have been laying this out. And I got to ask you this. Were you shocked to see Biden actually lay out everything boy, did he vindicate us or what? Ban him?
Yeah, I wasn't shocked.
Take him.
No, I wasn't shocked to see it. I mean, we've been building towards this for decades, you know, and then Democrats thought that this was their year. Gun control advocates thought that this was their year. You know, I mean, they had such grand plans. Not only were they going to, you know, take several Senate seats and they're going to add to the majorities in the House, but they're going to flip the state house in Texas and they were going to flip the state Senate in Minnesota. I mean, like, they had an agenda. We just got in the way. Right.
We did. That's a great way to put it.
They failed, but you know, they failed because of us.
Yeah.
And I want gun owners to understand. I mean, Michael Bloomberg spent $1 billion on his own presidential campaign and failed. He spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to get gun control candidates in offices from the U.S. Senate on down to your state house, and he failed. We were outspent, but we were not outvoted. And that matters going forward, you know, because, look, for the time being, we do live in that divided nation. And we haven't had the great separation yet. So as long as we're engaged in that political process, we need to be as effective as we possibly can be. And there are a lot of good lessons to be learned from this election cycle, because we did a lot of things right. And you know, so, look, I mean, we've got our challenges ahead. But I also want gun owners to, you know, we can walk around with a little swagger because we beat them at their game.
Not only did we beat them at their game, we embarrassed them to the point they couldn't run on their own agenda. Here in Georgia, they weren't running on gun control. They were running on Obamacare. They were running health care. The following was paid for by every town for gun safety. The following Obamacare health plan program was paid for by every town for gun safety. They couldn't run on their own agenda. And that happened in all six of the major battleground states. Here's my question for you on that Biden plan. I've covered extensively here, as you can imagine. Ban it. Ban the importation. Require registration through the NFA. And then the next step, of course, as you know, because you talk about it as well, is a buyback, which is forced confiscation, just like Australia that Hillary Clinton said should be the model for the U.S. So I've made the comments because I forget who wrote about it, something I said somewhere out there, that I was threatening someone when I said, come and take it. My response to that is that's not the threat. That's the response to the threat. The true threat is you threatening to come and take my stuff that I lawfully own. Am I back satellite radio moment word here, words? Or am I mean, this, to me, this whole thing is so convoluted. You threaten to come take my stuff, and I respond with, come and take it. I'm going to defend against you. Where's the threat?
Yeah. As you say, I mean, look, the threat is implicit in you're not allowed to own that thing that you legally purchased, right? And is protected under the Constitution. We're gonna come and get it from you, or you're going to go to prison. I mean, that is the threat. But the reality is, you know, I kind of lay this out in that piece that you mentioned a few minutes ago. I don't think they're going to come and take it. I mean, not widespread. I don't think we're going to see, you know, some door-to-door right. confiscation. But what we could see if Biden's, you know, gun ban were to be enacted, and what we will see with a weaponized ATF under a potential Biden administration are, you know, gun owners in ones and twos and threes and fours arrested maybe as they're leaving their local range or they're leaving their local gun store.
Right.
I'm actually working on a story of bearing arms right now about a guy in Washington, D.C. who had his concealed carry license revoked after a police stop that did not lead to an arrest, did not even lead to a citation. You know, we know how the anti-gun crowd works. And so it's not that the threats are going to be non-existent. But, you know, look, when push comes to shove, the reason why they don't like hearing come and take it is because they don't want to. You know, they're afraid,
right.
I think, of them personally. Now, listen,
of
if
course.
They can send somebody else to come and take it, right, well, that's something else entirely. But they themselves, you know, they don't have the moral fortitude to come knock on your door, Mark, and say, Mark,
no.
I volunteered with Beto O'Rourke's gun confiscation squad, and I'm here to take your gun.
Well, at the beginning of the show, they better bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends, right? Because I'm not giving them anything. Listen, a station wagon isn't a station wagon. Let's get the visual. A station wagon with a bunch of Bettos getting out of it. You know, come on. That's mocking, by the way, in case they didn't pick that up, you liberals. That's not a good thing about you. It's mocking. I should have said Brita Prius and a whole lot of friends. Cam, we saw this in Connecticut. We saw virtually zero compliance with registration. Virtually none.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this with the magazine ban in New Jersey. There's been, in fact, as far as I know, there's been zero compliance. Now, in the state of Virginia, you guys got a mess on your hands. You know my history with the state. Graduated from Radford. A family lived there. Lived in Virginia Beach. Lived in Richmond. Lived in Radford. Parents lived up in Reston and Herndon, a couple locations. So got lots of friends there. And both my nieces and nephews were born there, and two of them still live there. Loudoun County, you guys got rid of preemption. Now you got this little patchwork of things going and growing. And this is what they want for the rest of the country. And I think you're 100% correct. They know better. They know they can't. I think with them, it's just they want to say they did it, but they're petrified to have to enforce it. Why? I can think of 172 million reasons why. And you know what we left out in that? The 100 million people in possession of those 172 million items. Cam Edwards, thanks, brother.
Exactly.
God bless you for everything that you do, man. Thanks for coming on. Can't wait to get you on the Monster Cast. Real quick, you got 15 seconds. Tell everybody where they can get you.
You bet. BearingArms.com. You can find me on Twitter as well at Cam Edwards. And thank you, Mark. Always enjoy the fastest hour in radio.
Fastest hour in radio. Cam Edwards helps makes it so. Listen to this. We're going to get up and do it again tomorrow because they don't want us to. Make sure to check out our partners. Go get yourself an X plan. Get yourself real insurance. Graduate to a real product. Just like you have for your homes, your cars, your boats, your toys, your dogs, your businesses, everything else. X Insurance has you covered. They present this show every single day. Enjoy the rest of your day. Carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everyone. Never leave your cave without your club.
Prescription for Freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.